injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.
Looking for work? Better pay? Better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Time now for the Miller Lite postgame show, right here on ESPN Louisville. Cards Football is also presented by Kentucky Fish and Wildlife. Get your hunting and fishing licenses today, fw.ky.gov. Baptist Health, centered on you. UPSjobs.com. Become a UPS Louisville warehouse worker and you can earn up to $21 an hour, plus money for school through our education assistance programs. Visit upsjobs.com. And Kroger, fresh for everyone. Now, live from the Liquor Barn Studios, here's Mark Ennis.
Welcome in to your Miller Lite Louisville football post-game show. I was saying to a dear friend before this started that I feel like we've all done enough character building, right? Like we've done enough of these shows where it's like, okay, these are those times you got to buck up as a fan and it puts hair on your chest and you'll be glad when it comes out. Like enough. People would just really like to be happy after a game like this. But there's very little to be happy about in a game like this. And unfortunately, like it was the kind of game that we were all afraid would happen. After last week, the way the team looked against South Florida, you thought, okay, here's a Boston College team that's kind of on the ropes. We learned before the game that they were beat up on the offensive line. They very much look like they mailed it in against Florida State a week ago. Here's your chance to go on the road. There were hundreds of people in the stands at this game. So I do not want to hear anybody talk about the environment like we did with Syracuse earlier this year. None of that was a factor. This was a game that Louisville really had no excuse for not winning. And virtually every single thing that has plagued Scott Satterfield since he got here plagued them in this game. The inability to really develop and have a viable passing, drop back passing game was in this one. The ability to recruit quarterbacks and to just have other options, either because of injury or because of inefficiency and poor play, there was none of that. It was all here in this one, and it ends up hurting Louisville at the end of this game when they needed quarterback play and didn't have Malik Cunningham. The unwillingness to trust your sixth-year quarterback. There were some real, I think, play calls in this one that just broadcast a lack of belief in him. And I swear, teams know this. If it's 3rd and 9 and you run a quarterback draw, the other team knows you don't believe in your quarterback. And to me, that came through loud and clear. And then the other side of the ball, a team with a bad offensive line, without starters who've been bad, came out and bombs away on this Louisville defense. 18 of 21, Phil Dracovic was. 304 yards. There were long touchdowns or long catches in this game of 69 yards, 50 yards. Flowers, 151 yards and 2 touchdowns on 5 catches, 30 yards a catch. Like, that's an insane amount of yardage. And there's just no excuse for Louisville to be where it is this far into the tenure of a head coach who has a lot to prove. And isn't that ultimately what I think is just agonizing about him and about them? Is that I feel like in situations where either you're contending for a championship or, like, grown men with families, well, good paying jobs, unable to get a team to play like everything is on the line here. And I think it is entirely fair to say, and we're going to get a lot of, you know, Brohm calls and all this other stuff, and we're going to get a lot of who should be the next guy calls. I understand that. We're going to – there's nothing wrong with having that conversation at this point. But this was messy. And I think the inability to ever turn on the game and have confidence that you're going to get white-knuckle effort out of this team is the sort of thing that sticks with people far longer than just a single week. People are just not going to move on from never being able to just have confidence that you can go out and take care of business in a game like this. And they didn't. And now they're 2-3, again, against the far easier portion of the schedule. Everyone else on the schedule is ranked and really good. You have squandered every bit of your runway here.
Not just that, but you're also 0-3 in conference play, too.
I mean, a lot of the returns are in. And, you know, if you want to be one who sort of is maintaining, like, it's not over and there's hold off, there's still something to play for and that sort of thing, I understand the eternal optimistic, I think, kind of mindset about coaches and your guy and all that sort of thing. But if he does anything that will make you feel optimistic about his future, it will be something we've not seen all year. Like, they will just sort of magically turn into some other team. And I just don't think that that's in the cards, no pun intended there, for this team at this point. The phone lines are already full. I want to let you guys sound off as much as you can because you all wait, and we very much appreciate that. So if you want to get in, 81-50-93-9, Travis is going to be first. Travis, start us off here, buddy.
What's up,
welcome
man? Good. I have a few points. I want to say, obviously, Cunningham has regressed. I think saw last game that he's missed open wide receivers, I think. If he hits the receivers, we're actually we'd be up by a few touchdowns. Two, we're always up fourth quarter on these games. We're up. We have the game in the win column, and we always seem to lose. That's coaching, or I don't know what it's coaching. But and then, lastly, when Cunningham was hurt, why would you not run the ball two or three times, give him some confidence, get like 10 or 20 yards? Those seemed goofy to me to throw the ball four times and get no yards at all, put all the pressure on him throwing the ball. You know, there's 2 minutes left, at least run the ball a couple times. See what y'all think. Bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, look, I mean, there were myriad issues with this team that, again, like are – that indicate, you know, that have plagued him since he's gotten here. You should, if you have to, be able to go to your backup quarterback and at least know that he's good, like good at a couple of things, or he's comfortable with this. And sadly, Florida State 2 weeks ago was a great example of this. You knocked Jordan Travis out of the game. Florida State puts in Tate Rodemaker. It's ugly at first, but they go to the locker room. They come out for the second half, and when they come out, they figured out at halftime a handful of things that he's really comfortable doing, and they executed them to a T against Louisville, completely unable to stop it. And look, Louisville, if it seemed like every time you looked at Louisville defensively, it was Djokovic to Zay Flowers and like what else do they have to do? Like that's all Boston College has. But it worked. It absolutely worked over and over again. It felt like the bowl game where it was like not only is every throw good, it's huge. And there's just no excuse, you know, for that at this point. And I think if things continue on the way the trend line looks and Louisville's in the market for a new coach after this year and we do our postmortems on why things went as badly as they did or why it didn't work, you can very much say from day one, development at quarterback and defense have been awful. The defense is really no better today than it was when he arrived. You know, sometimes when presidents run for re-election, it's like, are you, I think Reagan was like the first one to really do this. Like, are you better off than you were 4 years ago, right? Like, they're not. They're not better off than they were 4 years ago at almost any area of the team. They're better in the sense, like, they don't quit. You know, this isn't 2018. But in the end, like, the goal isn't to just sort of be better than you were at some of your worst you've ever seen. The goal is to win some of these games, and they don't. And you just had the caller there, right there. Here, I'll give you a really sad story. My oldest is not a very big sports fan. She's only 10. But she's like, oh, they're winning. And she kind of said it like surprised when the Louisville was up a little bit earlier. And it wasn't crazy. It was like, of course they're up. They're always up. They're not. And she sort of was
It should have been a game where you look at it, it's like, yeah, we're winning because BC's not that good. But that wasn't the case all day.
Not even close in this one. All right. Phone lines are full. Let's get back to them. Let's get John in here next. John, welcome in to the Miller Lite Postgame Show. What's up?
What's up, Mark? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to throw some stats out to you here. Satterfield is 12-17 in the ACC. His last 29, he is 12-17. Malik is the quarterback. I'm not going to bash a kid that, you know, on the football team, but Malik is 20-22 as the starting quarterback here. Sat lost. He's 0-3 this year. You know, he played three guys that were essentially coaching for his job, Dino, Norvell, guy today. He's 0-3 against guys that were coaching for their jobs. So I just asked the administration, I asked the athletic department, I asked the UofL fan base, are these numbers good enough? 12-17 in the ACC, 12-17 in the last 29. Not winning football, it's not a good product. I'm ready for a change across the board. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that right there. Like, there's a very non-emotional, like, objective case to be made that, like, we know, like, the returns are in. You know, we have been saying that, like, it's really Scott's job here to give people the feeling that this is going somewhere. And this far into it, another performance like this, it isn't going anywhere. It isn't moving. And nothing, I think the agony of all of this, like, it feels as if nothing ever builds on anything else. You never string together a series of performances where it's like, okay, they realize what they are. They're this, and then there's confidence in this, and then you can just sort of add little layers and pieces and layers and pieces, and you build towards something. And by the end of the year, you're a pretty damn good football team. You put these dice in the cup and you shake them up and you throw them out there and let's see what Louisville is this week. Except for the parts that sort of are indicative of him and a little bit predictable. It's hard to be a Louisville fan with decades of between Howard, John L., Bobby, and Charlie. Great quarterback play and really inventive, clever, fun, excited. We're spoiled, but we are. And we own it. And it's not our job to fix that. We're spoiled by really innovative offensive and quarterback passing play to be this far into things. And third and nine, I have no confidence they'll convert third and nines for multiple reasons. And it played out that way. And it really isn't. There's no scenario. Everyone stayed up and watched Tulane come back and win against Houston with their third string quarterback leading like a 90-yard drive in that game to tie and ultimately and then win that game. Brock Doman, he's been on campus. He's into his second year. He comes in. He's 1 of 8 for 19 yards. He completed a single pass in the game. The program should be further along. It should be elsewhere than where it is at this point. And when people call in, like John just did, and they're like, look, this isn't good enough and I want to move on. Like, that's not there's nothing crazy or irrational about that. This isn't a bug. This is a feature. Like, these are the way these games go for Louisville, and I think that's below the standard most everybody important has set here. Let's get Jacob in here next. Jacob, welcome in your Miller Lite Postgame Show. What's up?
Oh, what's up, Mark? Just honestly hate to be calling you.
Well, I understand. I do. I used to look forward to these.
Sure, I'm sure. Yeah, I never, ever call in fresh after the loss because I am still a football player, so I still get hot about that stuff and whatnot. You know, I'm 32 years old, and I'm out there still with my guys, and it's only a little rinky-dink flag league, but people would laugh at us with how serious we take it and the competition and levels we all played at. And so every day I come out, you know, and I see the Cards doing their things and stuff, I always recollect on my time of playing and what my coaches did. And I played at JUCO ball out west in Orange Coast College and walked on at San Diego State after the fact. And so, like, I was even recruited by Mike Norvell when he was at Arizona State as the offensive coordinator. Corny dude, but that's a side topic. I'm laying too much, gassing myself up too much about my football career. Let me just get to what everybody else is calling to talk about. some of the things that just bugged the heck out of me is like this overthrow thing that Malik's starting to do. I feel like sophomore, you know, all those earlier years, the overthrows didn't seem to be a thing. And today, you know, they're high, they're at the feet, they're, you know, sailing out of bounds. And so I'm just, you know, I don't feel like we've had a solid quarterback coach here for a minute. I don't know if Pete Thomas, I don't know anything about Pete Thomas. But the thing is, I knew Nick Petrino was crap. So it's like at the end of the day, we've gone from Petrino to Ponce to, and Ponce told Malik to never run out of bounds. So, you know, like there's so many things to just bounce off of with our quarterback's coach in the past. And I hate to, you know, rail on Thomas because I don't really know too much about him, but the product's on the field. The play calling is just terrible. As the caller said before, like we're at 4th and 10 with our backup quarterback. You didn't call anything to make that easier on him. The one play you called to make it easy on him was his first play out there, and that's what you said. It was his 1 of 8. What his one pass that was completed out of the 8 was the one play that they called correctly. And otherwise, they knew that Doman wasn't going to run. They changed their whole defense up, said, hey, we don't have to worry about the run anymore. Everybody just drop back. And he's not going to find anybody. And that's a fact. The receivers couldn't get open for Malik. How are they going to get open for Brock? And how's Brock going to put that on the dot when Malik couldn't? One of the other things that bugged me like crazy was somewhere in the first half, Malik runs out of bounds on a 2nd and 7 to make it 3rd and 11. What are you doing? Throw it out of bounds. Like, it's just the little things, man. And our defensive backs are crap, just straight across the board. Keytrell Clark was good once upon a time ago. Otherwise, we are losing our one-on-ones all across the board in the secondary, and that is just out of any portion between your D-lineman and your secondary, that's where you need those one-on-ones to be met the most. You need to win those ones the most in those areas, and that's where I will say our only improvement is our big boys. I can't hate on them entirely. We weren't punching them in on the goal line, but I think that was a lot to do with, you know, Malik not handing it off or handing it off, and then the play calls to choose to keep doing that when you see it wasn't working. But the big boys up front, I think, are our only improvement this season. That's it. And he needs to hand off the play calling duties. It's so bad at this point. Like, these coaches have seen as many U of L games as we have, the ones that we're going to go play up against. They've seen as many U of L games as the fans have. They go back and they watch all this film. And so you think they're not seeing the same stuff that the noobs, you know, us amateur people, I'll call it, aren't calling out? They most definitely are. They know every time they do that speed option out, Malik's not pitching it. They know every time that they do this motion that he's not throwing it downfield. There's certain things even I've noticed that when they do it, it's you just know what's going to happen. Monty had a great day. So did Momo. Our linebackers did great. Malik was, you know, like I said, he was bad, but he has moments. I hate to always say this too because I hate the word regression, but it really does seem like, and I'm not going to say Malik's regressed other than the overthrows being a thing lately, but he's just not been any better than his sophomore year. And I hate saying that because I'm such a Malik fan. Put Dez Tell's ass on a bus and send him home. I don't care how good he is. That penalty right there was like what Chris Jones did to get Indianapolis in position to win against the Chiefs. Like, that is just uncalled for and unnecessary. I don't care who you are. Put his butt on the bus and send him back home. One of the other callers said, too, is Malik's terrible record. Do remember that Malik was a starter for all the losses in Bobby's year that last year, so that's not too fair to him on that record. And he was only a freshman. But ultimately, for my last stuff, ultimately all I'm going to say is stop it with the all shucks BS. Stop it with that all shucks BS. Stand up, give me an angry face, Scott, and do something different. Pass off the play calls. You're doing nothing different. If I had to guess, Lance is sitting on the sideline. Because I put it to my dad, Scott needs to be the pit chief. He's trying to drive the damn car, and he's not seeing the little nuances that go around the car that the driver doesn't see. So, and who's going to step up and say, well, hey, head honcho, this is what you're doing wrong? Nobody. So at the end of the day, when Scott just messes up, it's all shucks from the whole damn team, and we just move on. And I can't do that. And like I said, out of the 9 plays when we had our 3 trips down in that red zone, out of 9 plays, and when he went in the half, he said, well, we couldn't punch it in. It's like you knew we couldn't punch it in, and you still, out of the 9 plays, only called 2 different ones than a straight-up dive down the center, a read option dive, or whatever you wanted to run. Like and they both scored, by the way. One of them was they were trying to get Amari Huggins Bruce the ball, like Pat's been preaching, and BC covered that well, and Malik did a great play. The other time, they did the read option, and they pulled Malik outside versus the dive. And so it's like the 2 times you knew to make the adjustment because you knew it wasn't working, it scored, yet you still stuck with what you knew wasn't working. That was my last thing. like I said, I hate it that I had to call. I hate showing these colors of mine right here. But, man, I am on that train where you either need to hand off the play calling or there's – I mean, we're not going to win a lot of games from this point forward. So I don't think he's going to be back next year at this point. And I hate that because I want this next class, and that was the only thing saving him. Yep. So I'm going to get off where I keep going on. Thank you guys for taking my call. Thank you for listening to me cry. hopefully your all's day goes better.
Appreciate the call there. Thank you. Look, that was that call was well received, so you don't have to worry about annoying people there. Look, I think there's no question that Scott's overall demeanor is the kind of thing that when things are good, it's super appealing. And when things are bad, people cannot stand it. People simply don't want to hear the other team get credit. They don't want to hear you be impressed by what the other team did or come up with reasons why something the other, like, it, but you're the coach at Louisville, win the games for Louisville. And it is a particular problem for Scott that we can identify areas where of things that he does and has his teams do as a way of doing things, we can look at them and be like, this is a big reason why they lose games. But there's almost never a time where we can look at something and say, that's why they win games. Like, if you had to make sort of a pros and cons list of Scott, like, these are the things where when I watch his teams play, like, I really like that they do that. And that's a big contributor to them winning games. And then he has his teams do this, and I really hate that. And look what happens. There's way more of the cons, you know, at this point. You can't look at a whole lot of things. And certainly not big picture stuff. Big picture stuff that you would love to be able to just assume that you're going to get what looks like I said, just a white knuckle effort. Like, everything's on the line and the team looks like it and plays like it and is prepared like it and he looks like it. Everybody just sort of seems to be like, we did our best, it's all good. It's infuriating to people, and it certainly doesn't help, I think, sort of the PR and the messaging and the massaging of these things. None of that seems to help. Let's get Plumber Chuck in here next. Plumber Chuck, welcome into your Miller Lite Loophouse Game Show. What's up?
What's going on, Mark?
Hey, buddy.
I always say to you, Dino needs to give you a raise for doing this, for being a therapy session.
I agree with that. So, I hope he's listening.
Yeah, I will. The next time I see him there out, I will tell him that. First thing is, people getting on Satterfield, and I've discussed this many times on your show. I sound like a broken record. The guy's a nice guy. Me and you're going to agree on that. But this just isn't the fit for him. So fans going to have to get over it. Number two. Quit worrying about y'all's recruiting class next year. Who said that these kids aren't coming next year? NIL money and all that. So if he goes, not too worried about it. The third thing, as far as, you know, we've seen enough of him for 4 years. He's had his chance. It's not a good fit. I hope Josh is listening. Go ahead, start making your phone calls. Get your Rolodex out. Get your candidates lined up, because the season ticket holders, us old school fans, are tired of it. We're not going to the stadium. We're not going to sit there and watch a terrible product. A couple of my friends have been ticket holders for 30-plus years. They went to a game. They're done with it for the year. They're waiting for basketball season. And as far as the stadium, nobody's going to go watch that the rest of the year. It's going to look like a close-up Kmart. A blue light special won't help out, because nobody's coming into that to watch that product. And, you know, I hate being like that. He's a nice guy. I like his personality, but it's just not the right fit here. So, rest of the year, the second half's going to be ugly. So, and if Malik's hurt, you know, there's no talent development there. Your backup's been in there. No development. You know, it is what it is. So, get ready. There's going to be a change coming, and Josh, I hope, is listening to this. You got to make a change. There's no way you're going to stick with this guy next year, because the stadium's not going to be full. And this year, like I said on the drive with you, Mark, they were a couple plays away from losing against Central Florida. If they caught a couple balls, they're going to lose that game. And South Florida's terrible. You can't take anything away from that game. So keep up the good work, Mark. I'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, Plumber Chuck. Checks in the mail there, buddy. Thank you. You know, I think there are a million negative kind of takeaways and discouraging things that come out of this game. Perhaps chief among them, Louisville loses 34-33. They're 15-ish point under favorites in this one. Boston College helped a lot. Like, if Boston College didn't do any number of brain dead things. This one would have been, had the potential at least to be far more one sided than it ended up being. I mean, we're talking about a game where Phil Djokovic had like a 50-yard backwards pass where the running back for Boston College sprints to the ball, then doesn't pick it up when he gets there. On the opening drive for Boston College, they were cruising to a touchdown and just had a dropped pass bounce off a receiver's chest and get intercepted, or else they would have scored on that one. They helped Louisville as much as Louisville helped itself in this one. This could have been far more ugly than it was, and they moved the ball far easier than Louisville did. I mean, they only punted three times the whole game, Boston College. And it was, again, I think one of the previous callers, I think it was John that mentioned it, in these games where it is obvious that everything's on the line for the other guy, Syracuse to start the season, Florida State in that Friday night game, this one, Jeff Hafley, after they got blown out last week at Florida State, when the other team, Kentucky in all the rivalry games so far, when the other team, you know, they're coming out like, this is do or die for us. Louisville never matches that energy, ever. Under Scott. And people can feel that. They can sense it. They can see it. And it's almost impossible to get over when you see it. Let's get to Steve in here next. Steve, welcome into your Miller Lite postgame show. What's up?
Hey, Mark, man. Thanks for letting me in.
You bet.
You know, like anybody else has said, therapy session. And you've been doing this for far too long, man. You let your kids know, man. You're one of the toughest SOBs out there.
Thanks, buddy.
I mean, for real. but just a couple things real quick, man. Dan Mullen is a football genius. he called this right before the season. We all thought he was ridiculous, and he's going to be right on the money. We'll be dead last in the ACC. I think this might be the one that puts it over the top. Scott is a genuine dude, and he keeps the locker room, but I think this might be the one because of Boston College's foibles and fumbles. This would have been the death nail. Like, it was the one-point loss that we've all grown accustomed to, but had they not lost their mind on, you know, three or four possessions with whatever they were trying to do, this would have been a three-touchdown beatdown. And Zay Flowers probably has four touchdowns. You get where I'm coming from with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you were right on the money with that. And it's time to turn the page. I know you haven't always, you know, been there, and you've been trying to be reasonable, and that's respectable, and I get it. But, you know, the only way to enjoy the rest of this college football season is to go shopping. You know, if you're a fan, I mean, for real, it's we're looking through the catalog. We're searching Amazon, football coach. Enjoy these games and start looking. Look at coordinators. Start looking at everybody. And I hope that it's more than the fans doing that. I hope the bosses are doing it too. This has been a horrible fit. You know, that first year was great, and it's what the kids needed. It's what the team needed. They needed Scott. You know, we had a sociopath as a head football coach. They needed to get loved up. We joke about it. We make fun of it. But they needed that. And what we need, the next guy's got to be a murderer, a killer, a just surgeon with detail. Doesn't, you know, we can do without the sociopath piece of it, but we need that surgeon, man. We need just a guy that losing football games burns them alive. They cough up blood on Saturday night with an ulcer if they lose a football game. That's what Louisville's built on. That's our pride, man. That's what we need. And I implore the administration to please do the right thing. If it's a Brom, it's a Brom. If it's not, please do the shopping. Please do the due diligence and get the fit. It's got to be a fit. It can't be, you know, what we've had. It can't be this. It can't be Sunday school teacher. It can't be a psychopath either. But it's got to be that just.
Yeah, surely we can find something in between, right?
Life is ball. Life is ball, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, we need that guy. That it burns. And let him be hungry, man. I thought Scott would be hungry and leave us a good legacy, like a list of coaches. But that's not what happened here, and it didn't work out that way. So thanks for the line, man.
Appreciate the call. There, I love that without context, right? No context. The next guy needs to be a murderer is listed as one of the characteristics of the next coach. But I do think he's hitting on something that is absolutely true, and it's the element of, it's the kernel of truth that makes a hyperbole funny. It is fatal to a coach's long-term opportunities if people think that they care more about the losses than he does. And he, whether it's true or not, he does give you that vibe. We need to take a quick break for station ID, right? We need to take a break. All right, we need to take our one break. I want you guys that are on hold to stay. We'll come back. We're going to let you guys vent as long as you can here on your Miller Lite postgame show. I'll be right back.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Welcome back to the Miller Lite Louisville Football Postgame Show on ESPN Louisville. Now, here's Mark Ennis.
Welcome back into your Miller Lite Louisville Football Postgame Show here. You guys waited. Let's get right back to the phones. You guys waited for the show to start, and you waited through the break, so let's get right to it. Let's get Jason in here next. Jason, thanks for waiting as long as you did, buddy. Welcome in. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys? How you doing, Mark?
Good.
You know, it's just so frustrating. This has been three straight years of this style of play. We keep coming up short, and you know, it's just time. You know, it's time for a change. I'm throwing Coach Prime in the mix, and I got a message for you, Coach Sunbelt Scott. Thanks for the pick me up down in Florida. Have a good day.
Thank you. I mean, look, I think a lot of people are going to be making their suggestions for other candidates, and I think a lot of you are going. We're going to get this. Something like this, like, hey, we're ready to move on with somebody else, from just about everybody. And you know, it's not my job to rebut that. It's Scott's job to make that seem like a ridiculous thing to say. I did want to mention one thing. The first year has gotten a lot of mileage here, and deservedly so. I mean, they went from 2-10 and a horrific 2-10 to that 8-5 year, and did a lot of good things. But when you start to have, you know, you have the 3 years to follow it, and you don't do anything close to that after that, you start to wonder, like, what happened in the first year that made it the outlier? And you can't help but think, if it's the outlier and if it's the sort of the abnormal thing for Scott, like, what makes sense of year one? And if anything, it might simply drive home just how bad Bobby was that last year. You know, just how bad the locker room was, his treatment, his disconnection, the quality of coaches that were there, that making the change to Scott, that alone, that he drove down basically like the value in the play of the 2018 team. And Scott was if he was just replacement level, then that's kind of how good they were that year, as long as nobody was making it worse. But they certainly have not progressed in almost any area of the team since then. And it's his job. For the reasons for why he's sort of the right man for the job to be obvious to everybody, and they're not. And that, like, the best coaches to sort of make the case for themselves don't have to make the case at all. And this far into it, I mean, today there were steps back at almost every place. There were steps forward at some point, kind of in his tenure here. You. Malik does good things. He does things that drive you crazy. You know, he makes bad decisions. He is inaccurate on throws. Then he made two gorgeous throws on the touchdown drive, including the touchdown that he came back in after the injury. And it's sort of him. you know, he doesn't read a third and one where it's a zone read and he should have given and he keeps it. It's the same thing that happened in the Syracuse game on a goal-to-go situation, and Louisville gets stopped and he doesn't get to score because he should have given it when he's trying too hard. And then twice, and this sort of where I don't know what's happening inside his head when it happens, the Louisville has the ball on third and nine at their own nine-ish. No, yeah, backed up in their own territory at like the nine-yard line. And they run a quarterback draw that gets blown up immediately. Then they have third and nine at the 14-yard line of Boston College, and they do the same thing. It's like you don't trust him to throw in either one of those situations? And what does it say when you don't trust your quarterback? He's a sixth-year guy. And oh, by the way, it's hard to sort of to isolate the blame on the quarterback. Louisville wide receivers, which are an entire room of guys that were recruited by Scott, like these are his guys, they're routinely in the second half against Florida State. And in this one today, there were plenty of times where they had pass protection. He had time. Nobody's open. And this is, the least fearful group of receivers Scott's had since he got here. And that's a reflection on him, too. Y'all have been waiting. Let's get Steve in here next. Steve, welcome into your Miller Lite Postgame Show. What's up?
Hey, Mark.
What's up?
Here's what I want to say. I had a class. Well, I know this is beyond you, but Weber in the 70s. I had a class with a guy. He was one of their best offensive lineman, and he told me one day, he put his hand on my shoulder, we were talking before class, he said, Steve, you see those storm clouds out there? I know you're blind, I know you have some vision, but he said, we're not going to practice today because it's going to lightning, and I'm glad. I really think it's time. He's got to go now. I don't know what you're going to do about who you're going to put in his place, but I just think he's, you know, he's just going to be, and I feel bad for him, but he's going to be fluttering in the wind the rest of the year. You're going to have players checking out. I think he's got to go now, and I don't think we can let him stay the rest of the year. It's just not a good thing, and it's not going to be good for the program because guys are going to give up. I don't know if you'll have guys quit or not, but I just think it's time that he go now, and I think Josh Hurd a very difficult decision to make, but I think maybe it's time. I don't know who you'll put in charge, but I think he might have to go now. And that's just my opinion. And it's just, it was horrible today. I could have cried. I really could have. I thought we were going to come out there. We scored the first time. I don't know what to say. I'm just done at this point.
And look, I don't.
Thanks so much.
I don't think that there's anything. Appreciate the call. I don't think there's anything wrong with being there. As far as those of you sort of saying, hey, look, I'm at the place, I want a coaching change, I hope they think that too. If there's one thing I have learned from finally having at least a little bit of interaction with people who work on this sort of thing, is that whenever you think an AD is like getting to work on something, they've been working on it. And I would promise you this, Josh Hurd's a smart guy, he's worked for smart people. If he's not beginning to make his decision about what the legwork's been done, I promise you. In the same way that coaches be shopping, right? The coaches look around for opportunities for themselves down the road here, and they're aware of what's out there at all times. ADs do the same thing. ADs and agents know what's up. I don't think that there's any chance in the world that Louisville's that Josh Hurd is just now, you know, beginning to decide what he's going to do. I would be shocked. That, quite frankly, I'd be a malfeasance if that's what he's doing. And I don't believe that that's the case. Harold, welcome in. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, Mark. You know, I'm not going to come on the radio and call our head coach a liar. But what I am going to do is paint a picture that helped me come to the conclusion. Real quick. Scott told your colleague Jody that they had a great practice.
Oh, man.
Scott told your colleague after this game that they had a great practice this week. I don't trust his judgment. Scott told us. Scott has had his best success with players who were coached by other coaches. Scott's guy got in there and went 1-for-8. The guy we are riding was a body guy. 6 years in the program. Scott told us, finish. All offseason, finish. Everybody saw what happened today. Scott told us that they were working hard in practice this spring, that they were doing things they hadn't done before. And we saw what happened today. I don't trust Scott's judgment. And the last thing I'm going to say about it is Scott went and told Tyra he had a plan. And apparently his plan was to become Bobby 3.0, because that's where we're heading right now.
Harold, I appreciate the call there. I did want to say I cringed when I heard Scott say that to Jody, that he really thought they had a good week of practice, because it did give me the unpleasant flashbacks to 2018, where Bobby was saying kind of the same things. And it is kind of one of those warning signs that a coach is like so disconnected from reality, sort of what's happening, that people aren't, that he thinks they've had a good week of practice, and then they come out and it looks like that. And it just, it's the sort of thing, these symptoms, these warning signs sort of all start to coalesce, and then, you know, the right thing, the proper thing, the next thing that's going to happen eventually does. Let's get Brandon in here next. Brandon, welcome in to your Miller Lite Post Game Show. What's up?
Yes, Mark. I am one of those guys that's ready for a change, first off.
Fair enough.
Second off, I'm tired of these games where we're favored 14 to 17-ish points, and we lose by one, two, you know. We're supposed to win them. And second off, the third off, I guess, I'm tired of Sat going into the post-game show after a game like this and saying, well, we battled, and they battled, and battled, and I think his favorite word's battle. I tell you what we're doing as a fan base, we're battling in our minds. What do we do to lie to ourselves that we need to keep you? So I'll hang up, just a frustrated fan, and see what you got to say from here.
Appreciate it. Look, that's I think it would be an interesting question to ask. You never get a coach to sort of answer it like it's a sincere question, but sort of what Scott does think kind of the case for him is. I mean, the goal here is not to be – I don't think anyone wants to hear the coaches be like, well, we battled. I'm proud of our guys for battling. Like, what if you don't dig yourself a hole? Like, I, too, am happy that guys don't quit. And I think Scott does get credit for the fact that it doesn't look like these guys ever really, truly, like, give up.
Which we have seen. If every game was like the South Florida game. It would be nice. But it's not going to happen, unfortunately.
But that's not what people are. That's not what. When a caller is like, I'm tired of hearing him saying that they're battling. I don't think anyone has the expectation that the team's going to be good all the time. Is going to play with perfect effort all the time. And I want to be, I kind of got into it with people who didn't love, I think, like the first drive or two against USF last week. And then the game was totally one-sided after that. The perfect coaching job is never going to result in you win 100-0 and you never go backwards and you never punt. And it, like that, the other team is trying to, but you guys are smart enough to know that's not what happened. You're not unreasonable. Louisville fans are not unreasonable. To say, like, hey, when we're 15-point favorites against a team with none of its starting offensive line, against a team that's kind of been blown out by a whole bunch of people, we shouldn't give up 34 points and never get to the quarterback in any, kind of in any crucial moment whatsoever, and have things like Dez Tell on a third down slapping a running back in the face after stopping him for a loss to keep that drive alive. Why? What? And those sorts of things happen, and I don't think any – like, none of us – like. If it happened in 2018, like you would be afraid that Bobby would literally murder you. Or Kirby Smart would murder you if that happened in a game like this. And I don't think anybody's like, man, I wouldn't want to be that guy. He'd be fine. And that's not good. That's not how it's supposed to be. Let's get Chaz in here next. Chaz, welcome in to your Miller Lite Little Postgame Show. What's up?
Yeah, Mark, you heard me call in after the Florida State game. I was probably one of the few that said, you know, I still feel like he's the guy. I'm definitely off that train. I think the decision's got to be made. I'm not sure that the decision needs to be made now or at the end of the season. I mean, I do think that, you know, if we do let him go, no matter what, we need to open up and not – I don't want to hear this fan base be Jeff Brohm, Jeff Brohm, Jeff Brohm. That's the one thing that I don't want to hear if this job opens up. The only thing that could help us right now is if he somehow decides I'm going to give up the play calling duties and let Brian Brown go, because that was the worst – I mean, maybe we're the worst ACC team, but that was the possibly the second worst ACC team, and I didn't think coming into this season that I would say that. This team just doesn't look like they're getting better. It's still the same mistakes. I mean, you look at that first drive of Boston College, if not for a literally lucky tip, they go down and score easy. I mean, you know, like you've been saying, the mistakes that Boston College made, this could have been a 3-touchdown game in their favor, and they were a 2-touchdown underdog. So I just don't see us getting better. You know, it sounds like Malik may have a foot injury, which may limit him. Malik's not a pocket passer, so I don't know what kind of situation that puts us in. You know, I don't see any way the fan base comes back from this. It's certainly not going to be next week. You know, if you could have won these two games, the Pittsburgh game would have been a interesting game for the yeah. fan base and how they respond. And I think 80 to 90% of the fan base is just done. And you know, I think what the previous caller said, the best thing we can do during the season now is go shop, and maybe we shop for a football coach. And I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say, Mark.
Appreciate it. Yeah, look, I think if there is a coaching search, it will be wide open. Even if there is a guy like Jeff Brohm is going to be very popular to a lot of people, and they did win today over previously undefeated and newly ranked Minnesota, there will be a wide open search. And if it's Jeff, it'll be because it should be Jeff, just like they did with Kenny Payne. I will say this, though. For those of you who don't think it's nearly as much of a slam dunk that would be the right hire to make, I have been told by more than one person, sort of in like the coaching search industrial complex, that there would be, were this job to open, pretty significant interest from candidates. I think that would make people pretty happy, that you would understand why Louisville might be interested in them too. So I don't think Louisville would struggle if they did have to hit the market. And today, for crying out loud, a game like today doesn't do anything to dissuade anybody from calling in and making those very suggestions. 8150-939, that's the number if you want to get in here. Let's get Samson in here next. Samson, always good to hear from you, buddy. Oh, no, it's Uncle Larry. I'm sorry, it's Larry first, then Samson. Larry, welcome up. What's up?
Hey, Mark. Kudos to you, man. I don't say you do this every week like you're doing, though. Proud of you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
A great job hanging in there. But I know you've been busy all afternoon. I just came across a tweet from Kelly Dickey. I don't know if you saw it. He said 6 out of the last 9 losses, Louisville has been ahead or tied going into the fourth quarter. That's pretty bad right there. If you can't drive the bus to the station and keep it on the road for the last quarter, when you're ahead or tied, and you lose like you lose, there's got to be a change on the horizon. I think it might not come this year, but I definitely think it's going to be a new coach, probably a new coach and staff up in here. You know what's bothering me lately, Mark, about the whole situation with our football team? They play good one week. They play terrible the next. We all know that. But it seems to me, I've never been a coach, I've never been a defensive back coach or anything like that. But I feel like our defensive backs are it's like the Roadrunner and the Coyote. The Roadrunner takes off down the field, and the Coyote has no idea which way he's going, how he's going, and he can't keep up, and he's so confused. I practically crawled up under my couch today every time I saw Flowers go down the field because I knew what was going to happen. And these tackling angles that they're taking, it's pathetic. I mean, you're taught one way, you should do it that way, and I just can't figure it out. But anyway, I'm starting to ramble as usual, so appreciate it, guys. Talk to you later, and go Cards. Bye.
Appreciate the call there. Larry, look, there's no question the persistent issue with closing these games in which you have been in the fourth quarter with the lead is a calling card of Scott's, and it's the kind you don't want to have. There's very little confidence that unless they're playing UCF. For whatever reason, Scott's always able to put it together against UCF for some reason. Whenever they are able to do play UCF, everything is fine. But other than that, if it's a fourth quarter game, if it's a one score game, it is unfortunately, I think, gone this way too much. Samson, thanks for waiting, buddy. Welcome into your Miller Lite Little Postgame Show. What's up?
Oh, man. I did not think today was going to happen. I tell you, I am so checked out on this football program. It's unreal. I mean, I'm going to go to the games and support the kids, but like, I don't think there's any coming back for me. And I didn't think I was going to get here. I really wanted Scott to succeed. I mean, I was so pissed off earlier because we had to wait to even call in to vent. I called the Kentucky Post Game Show. That's how bad it was. But I don't understand. We've all talked about it as beating a dead horse, the play calling, the lack of, I mean, the almost, you know, feeling like you've been lied to with where, you know, we feel good about this defense and this and that, and then our defensive backs are so terrible, and these blown coverages, the big plays, the how every, you know, they can sit there and say, we got to stop this play right here, and then that guy has a career day always. I'm sick and tired of being somebody's team, you know, somebody's best team that they can just get the
somebody's get right on. Game.
Get right game every time. Yeah. Every time it's year after year. Listen, the first year was fun. Okay, thank you, Scott. We had the first year. Please get the hell out of my town. I don't mean no disrespect. I hope you know, go somewhere and land and do good. Get back close to the Boone, North Carolina, you know, anything, but. This is not working, and it's going to get worse. I mean, I don't think the team's going to completely check out, and we're going to have a 2-10 year, or, you know, obviously, or whatever. But it's the fan base. It's mediocrity. Even when, you know, you think you're okay, we might have turned a corner, and then boom, no, it's back to ass. And I'm open to ideas. I mean, hell, I saw Clint Hurt for his name thrown out online. I'm like, yes, I don't care. I'm tired of the all shucks, which is not going to change. I'm tired of the, you know, all he was missing was Bobby Petrino's voice. Oh, you know, he practiced hard. We had a good practice. But, like, I can't deal with it anymore. Well, it's just get out there and say, this is all you're going to get, fans. I'm sorry. This is the best we can do. Because you are a 2-touchdown favorite at Boston College, who's been terrible.
Yes, they have.
And this is what we get. You know what I mean? Like, I should not have stressed that game today. This should not have happened. It's awful. We're regressing. I said it earlier. I'll say it again. I'd rather have Kragthorpe at this point because at least I know what I got. You know what I'm saying? at least I knew what I had. I'm like, we're gonna get thrashed today. Cool. But I'm a super fan, fellas. You know I love this program. It pains me on Saturdays or freaking Fridays or whenever we're playing to know, like, I don't have confidence anymore, and I still have confidence that we can beat even the crap teams, and we might steal some wins from a team that we shouldn't beat. But you know, if they beat Pittsburgh, it's going to be in front of about maybe 19,000 fans. I can tell you that, because you're losing even the core fans, the Mies, the Redbirds. You know what I'm saying? The Garys. You're losing us, and we want to support, but you make it so hard. Anyway, I'm rambling, Uncle Larry. I love you. I love all my Cards Nation.
Good to hear from you, as always, Samson. Thanks, buddy. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut him off at the end there, but Samson is very much the voice of the average fan there, and I think that's where the vast majority of people are at this point. Let's get Rod in here next. Rod, thanks for waiting, buddy. Welcome into your Miller Lite Postgame Show. What's up? Rod. All right, Rod's gone. Let's go on to the next one. Let's get Jack in here. Jack. Welcome in. What's on your mind, buddy?
Okay. I'm looking at this a little differently. Our fans right now, man, they're losing their minds. I think that this is a quarterback problem. And hear me out for a second. Satterfield teams, they actually play pretty hard.
I agree with that.
There's a reason why we are in – and then we're not. I mean, it's a bipolar situation, and it's with our quarterback. If Scott Satterfield had a quarterback who didn't hesitate every single passing play. I don't know if the play is taking too long to develop or because of our receiving coaches is not good or whatnot, but, you know, Malik is not confident throwing that ball for some reason. Something's going on. So I think that if Satterfield had and let me say this, Malik has been doing this the whole time he's been here. I think he's amazing. A lot of people do. He's one of those guys. He's going to win a lot of games or a lot, get a lot of stats. And I think he might have an eye on the NFL. I think, you know, he's got ambitions. He sees Lamar. He's worried about, you know, being dynamic. I think if Satterfield can get a quarterback that is good, there's something about Satterfield's system. It's a good college system, and if it runs hard, the passing, yes, he's got to do something with the passing. But a lot of it is Malik. I think he's dynamic. Malik could be great in the NFL. We'll have to wait and see, but he is not. His head's not in the game. It hasn't been in the game. It's in the game. It's out of the game. The boy threw those two passes that were just so beautiful and amazing, and then that's it. He can't do it again. That's it. I mean, come on. Is that Satterfield's fault? So, I don't know. I don't think Satterfield has a chance, but a prayer. But we'll see if he can win some games. It's hard. Come on, guys.
Appreciate the call there. First of all, there's ultimately, when it comes to this polarity, like you trying to make this distinction between like this is players and this is coaches. The thing about being the super rich coach is that you ultimately, all the players are your responsibility too. So like if you start picking apart the performance of players, well, that's the responsibility of the coaches too. Malik is to blame for what Malik does wrong when it's Malik that's doing it wrong. But Malik doesn't play defense at all. Malik does not explain, does tell slapping a guy in the face. Malik does not explain why you can't cover Zay Flowers, why you can't cover one tall wide receiver for Florida State. I think maybe that's the agony of the Florida State game in this one, is it's like one dude. You had a quarterback comfortable throwing one kind of throw to one dude, and it worked over and over again. And really, it's like that's agony all by itself. But then you add to it, how come we can't do that? How come Louisville can't do that? And they can't. Let's get John in here next. Is that right? Yeah, John, welcome into your Miller Lite postgame show. What's up?
Hey, man. I think Louisville can do that. They're not going to do that with Satterfield. I don't see very many more wins this year. However, you heard it here first. I'm calling it. The Cards are going to beat North Carolina State. But other than that, I'm not sure if they're going to win another game. Non-conference game, other than Kentucky left, they're a good team. So,
they can definitely lose to James Madison. Do not tell yourself anything else.
But, I think it's, I don't think you should fire him now. I think if we get halfway through the season and we're 2-4, then maybe you pull the trigger. But, yeah, he's not getting any better. And I've been calling this show for years, and it's just, I feel like I'm talking the same every week. So go Cards. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it. John, thank you very much. I will, just a full disclosure to the audience, and it was tongue-in-cheek, but we did sort of joke at one point. Listen, this was us on my side talking with my producers from my show here, that I did contemplate, like, maybe just snapping a piece of one of the postgame shows from the previous 2 years and somewhere just kind of splicing it in to see if anyone would even notice. And I'm not sure that any of you would, because the feeling that this isn't going anywhere is driven by the fact that the same bugaboos just continue to happen. Can't get the stop when you need to. Can't get the score. One more score when you need to. All aspects of the drop back passing game are substandard. If it's 3rd and 10 and everyone knows you've got to throw it, play action is a waste of everybody's time. It doesn't work, and everyone knows it. No, I don't think anyone is afraid of Louisville And I can vividly remember still Dabo, even in the 2-10 year, saying like their route combos are terrifying. And you know, if we get their best effort and everybody's kind of dialed in, we're going to be in trouble. Well, they weren't. But no one ever says that. No one ever says that about Louisville's offense, passing offense in particular, really, at all. And that really hasn't changed at all. Let's get Damian in here next. Damian, welcome into your Miller Lite postgame show. What's up?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that, you know how a lot, you had made a comment a couple weeks ago about how you think there are very few fans that are still upset about Satterfield and the South Carolina flirtation. Well, I'm one of the few, and that was when I was really kind of like turned off of him, because I felt like that, he right then and there he showed his true colors, that he didn't really want to be here. And I feel like that this year was a complete wasted, lost year. I feel like that he should have been let go after the UK game. And I'm not saying it's you, and I'm not saying it's Drew, but I'm saying that there are certain people on that radio station, now I'm not going to name names, that poo-pooed fans that were ready to pull that plug on him after last year's debacle. And here we are again with a wasted year, 2-3, 0-3 in the ACC, lost to three teams that were supposed to be the easy teams. And now we have to face a ranked Wake Forest team, a gargantuan Clemson team, an NC State team, and going to get smoked by Kentucky again this year, and probably lose to James Madison, and probably lose to Pittsburgh. I feel like that the plug should have been pulled last year. This is a wasted year, and I feel like that there are some people that are on that radio station, particularly on Sunday in the morning, that need to eat crow to realize that this was a wasted year, and this was a failed experiment. And I will say, this is my last point, Vince Tyree, the true Manchurian candidate, once again has left us with the gift that keeps on giving. Two screwed up hires that has set this athletic program back years. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate the call there. Look, there's no denying whatsoever that Vince's two significant hires have not worked out anywhere close to what is typically the standard around here, or what any people hoped or expected or really thought you'd get after the first year. You know, you took real good strides forward in year one, and then nothing else after that. Not a thing. If anything, a little bit backwards at that point. He's not a Manchurian candidate. It's kind of silly. But I get the frustration there. And yes, those two hires, they have not worked out anywhere close to what anybody was hoping for. Let's get Aaron in here next. Aaron, welcome into your Miller Lite postgame show. What's up?
Well, you know, rinse, repeat, same thing that we've said for the last 2 years. But it's like, it kind of dawned on me today, seeing the after discussions. Like, I don't think Scott is a bad coach. I think he's just been a bad fit in the end. And he, to me, reminds me of, he's a coaching version of Ryan Tannehill with the Titans. He's fine enough. He's not going to win you games most of the time, but he's not going to screw things up completely most of the time. He's perfectly mid-tier average, and our record pretty much shows that. For the time that he's been here, we've been mid-tier and average, and when he was at his best was when it was majority not his players. I think if he had started going hard on the recruiting a couple of years ago, maybe things are different. If he has more talent in here, because there are just places that seem bare. We've seen the struggles this year with the wide receiving core. We've seen the mutual stress and anxiety every time Malik almost gets hurt, because as much as people like to harp on Malik, he's still the best option that we got by a good margin.
And that's its own issue, by the way. I'll let you finish. But like, you can kind of nitpick Malik in places and be critical of Malik in places and be like, where is the other option? And then he's still the best option. And he's kind of, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. So I think at this point, unless some miracle happens, and I don't think it's going to end up like the last year of the Petrino era, I still think there's a chance we somehow, a miracle happens and things turn on and we somehow get to a bowl. I'm not ruling out the possibility, because those players play their hearts out for this guy. And in reality, I think at the end of the season, we'll look at it and go, you just didn't do enough. You're just like the Titans this year are probably going to turn over to Malik Willis at some point and say, hey, Tannehill, you're fine, you're good, you help us, but you're just not taking us to that next step. And I think that's going to be what this season is going to end up like. It's going to be, at the end of it, we're going to say, Scott, we like you, we think you're a good coach, you just weren't good enough right now here.
Appreciate, yep. Listen, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. No, listen, 100% right. In the message here at the end, if it goes the way it looks like it's going right now and you're making a coaching change, I mean, yeah, that is what you're going to be saying. Good things happened. Not enough good things happened. He handled properly that first transition year, which in the history of following after Bobby Petrino anywhere, no one's ever done what they did that year with the 8-5. Usually the year after Bobby, the bottom falls right out real fast. And you got to give him his props for that. But the goal wasn't just to not be as bad as they were in 2010. The goal here was to be a contender in the ACC, spend like it, coach like it, win like it, and succeed like it. Like, that's the standard here. And they're not anywhere close to that at this point. But it's worth repeating something we've said, I think, on the show, on the drive, you know, during the week, multiple times. We've never been here before, guys. At Louisville, as a football fan base, and I'm basically saying from the 80s forward, we've never had middle-of-the-road results. We have been spoiled by the fact that it's been pretty much pass-fail, that we've had coaches who've succeeded amazingly and then left, or we've had coaches who fell flat on their faces, and it was obvious it was time to make a move, and you've moved on. We have never had somebody just sort of maintain perfect balance between the middle of never having the bottom fall out and never giving you the highs of it either. And it is the one place where, like, the people who are advocates for Jeff Brohm in particular, when you sort of hit them with, you know, the records are the same, that sort of thing. They've won a lot bigger games, though. A lot bigger games.
I mean, they'd just be a top 20 team today.
And it's like that's Louisville has not done that with Scott once. And so there are some differences there. And that's one of them. And it's the sort of thing you got to give people. Like, people will churn through lots of intermediate steps if they can just sort of see where this might be going. But you're not giving them that at all. Let's get Jeff in here next. Jeff, thanks for waiting, buddy. Welcome into your Miller Lite Postgame Show. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. So, I heard a caller a minute ago talking about how they didn't think that, or they put some of the blame on Malik and talking about how he can't do things or whatever. And I think what people don't realize, because we were gifted the gift of, having such a good kid in Lamar Jackson and the stuff that he could do, Malik is a phenomenal quarterback. I mean, without him, if you've got the guy that played quarterback today the whole season, if Malik's not there, I think we're looking at a one win so far this season. He puts us in position to make big plays, and as a fan base, we can't look at a quarterback and expect him to make a phenomenal, outstanding, amazing play every single play he's on the field. I mean, he's got to have tools around him. I mean, he doesn't have an outstanding wide receiver. He doesn't have, even though we were told he would, he doesn't have a phenomenal offensive line. He doesn't have, amazing tight ends. We've got a reliable guy in Marshawn Ford, and the things there. But, if you look at the coach and the way that the offense is going, and we get out coached, and that's what happens, because you go into a situation where you have games like today where, we have the lead. We don't increase that lead. It's like we're trying to hold on not to lose the lead, and then inevitably the other team is making adjustments and they beat us. But I mean, I think that, we have, you take Malik Cunningham, you put him on 90% of the teams that you see that are in the top 50, he's a phenomenal quarterback. I mean, he's done things that nobody else has done because of the type of athlete and quarterback that he is. And, I mean, it's a blessing to have that kid on our team because things could be much worse. To that point, to just see the coaching problem we have is we don't have a serviceable backup for Malik, which is unheard of, especially at the University of Louisville. You know, when I played, we had, you know, Chris Redman, and who backed up Chris Redman was Dave Ragone, you know, and then he became the next great quarterback and things like that. And you just see that lineage that goes down, you know, for a long time. We don't have that right now. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, to see, you know, some kind of, you know, change happen. You know, I don't know who that is going to be in the future or whatever, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see that name I just threw out there, Dave Ragone, here on the sidelines one day either. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's I'm a Cardinal forever. I always root for the Cardinals. You know, it's I'll go to the games where I can get there when my son doesn't have games. But, you know, it's hard to watch right now. It's really hard to be a diehard guy, but I'll always be that diehard guy. But, you know, we can't blame players on stuff that happened today. I mean, we got guys that are playing what they need to play. They're just not being coached well and not being helped by the tutelage that they have out there, and it's unfortunate. But anyway, good to talk to you. Thanks for doing what you do after the games here. I know that it's not as fun as it was, you know, 5 years ago. So anyhow, thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate the call as always, Jeff. Just a couple more of you here before we run out of time. We've already gone over an hour. We're about an hour and a half. Let's get David in here. David.
Yeah, congratulations, man. The phone lines are busy. Some people must really be pissed off, myself included. But here's
people, yeah, I'll let you. Hey, I'm gonna let you go. People are not apathetic, and don't ever let anybody tell you that they are not.
Oh, they're just angry. That's yep. Fine. But anyway, to that last caller, Malik is a great athlete. That's why he was offered at Alabama as an athlete. But we promised him quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He was overthrowing guys all day. So he's a great athlete, not a great quarterback. He will not be in the NFL. No way. Here's a name that people need to start saying. Stephon LaForge. Bring him back as a coach. Offer him $1 million a year. He's coaching high school. He can't do any worse than this loser, and that's what Satterthorpe is. The guy is a loser. Remember Ace Ventura? Loser.
Appreciate the call there. I hate to call attention to this, but we have reached the place that's one of those harbingers of doom where someone calls in and is like, hire this local high school coach. At least they'll play hard. Like, because that happened with Scott Frost in week 1 after they lost to Northwestern. The guy called in and was like, hire this, you know, Omaha high school coach. He's they play hard, and he understands. And it's like, golly, that's you're down bad when this stuff happens. Chris, you're going to be the last one here before we wrap things up here. Welcome in.
Michelle,
what's up?
I'm the current call. It's great. Hats off to you, man, for dealing with this for 5 years in a row. I mean, I don't know how you've done it, but, man, if I could buy you a beer, I'd buy you a beer.
I'd take it from you right now. Trust me.
But you know, it's simple. It's very, very simple. And it's the staff's inability to recognize and identify talent. But so what? Offensive line's great. Defensive line's great. You know what they're not? They're not physical. This game was born on physicality alone. See, Scotty thinks he can out-scheme everybody, which he can't. And there's no way this team hits in practice. There's no way. They know there's no – it's like Ole Miss game last year, just like the first of the game, the first day of Syracuse this year. They don't hit and they don't tackle the ground. There's no way. Your deficiencies that you don't do in practice show up in games. And it's been 3 years. Take away the first year because those are Bobby's players. Those guys are used to hitting, okay? Every year since those players left, every game – It shows up in games. They don't hit, and they're out of position. It's arm tackle, whiff. Malik is a good quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. And Scotty's system is what it is. He's not. I mean, how do you have all of the coordinators not in the booth? Doesn't even wear a headset. I mean, why are we paying this guy? Why do we give this guy this money? So he can have one of his buddies on the sideline with me? I mean, this is a joke. And you know what, Josh Hurd? Those $9 beers ain't getting sold, brother, the rest of the year. You're going to lose a ton of money the rest of the year. Concession stands, you make all that money on, good luck, brother. Good luck. You better be searching for a coach right now. And you know what?
Everybody wants to jump on Brom. Yeah, he's lost some games. You know what, though? His product looks better. His product looks better in losses and wins. They may have the same record, but his product looks a lot better than this clown. Good luck, guys. Thank you. Appreciate your work.
Appreciate the call there. That's the last. That's as good a place to dismount as any. I have a very good feeling that when we turn the phones right back on Monday, it'll sound a lot like that. Maybe even worse when people have time to stew.
I mean, hell, Sunday morning hangover tomorrow is going to be awful too.
Well,
but
I do love the idea of there being someone in this city who walks around with a burning rage at Nick Curran, who's probably the nicest person on earth.
Oh, 100%.
It's very funny to me, but it just goes to show you, like, all of us can run afoul of somebody. This is not fun, but we'll keep it up. We'll be back at it on Monday, and then next Saturday, Louisville at Virginia. We'll be here for that one as well. You've been listening to your Miller Lite Little Postgame Show. See you.